What's up, patrons, and welcome to a Clone Wars audio commentary. We're not going to waste any time here, we're just going to jump right in. So to sync up with Netflix or however you're watching, I'm going to count down and say 3, 2, 1, pause. When I do that, just pause this recording. Hit play again right when the yellow title disappears from the screen and you should be all synced up. So here we go, 3, 2, 1, pause. When surrounded by war, one must eventually choose a side.
That's true. Can't just do nothing.
It's funny, someone on our Q&A asked, because I've talked a lot before about how, you know, the Jedi lost their way when they became generals in a war. Mm-hmm. And this arc does touch on that, but they asked, like, what should the Jedi have done? And I mean, I don't know that they had any choice but to join the fight. And I think that's part of the brilliance of Palpatine's plan is that he forced them into this impossible situation. Because like, what are they going to do? Are they going to just stand by and let the galaxy be at war? I don't know that's the right choice either.
For 1,000 generations, they were protectors of peace, right?
Right.
Peace and justice.
But if war is inevitable, like, do they defend the Republic or do they just sit out of it? And I don't know what the right answer is.
I think they fight because that is defending peace.
I mean, I agree. But it also, like, I also agree that that led to some problems for the Jedi. And it was them losing their way. So,
yeah,
it's a tough situation. But I thought that was a good question. Because I do feel like I harp on the whole, the Jedi are generals and they're not supposed to be, but I don't give them enough credit for being like, yeah, like what else were they gonna do? And this whole episode is like that theme condensed.
Mm-hmm. That is silly. We'd rather die than kill others. I mean, I get being peaceful, but he's literally willing to die on his hill of being peaceful.
Die on his giant acorn. I love that George Takei joined the voice cast. Star Trek and Star Wars coming together.
Well, now I will definitely remember Lot Dodd.
This isn't Lot Dodd.
What? He just said his name was...
Lock Durd.
No!
Molly's been really struggling with her Nemoidian names prepping for the Schmodown.
Oh my god. Lurk Durd? What?
Lock Durd. Last night... We were falling asleep, and Molly, like half awake, just goes, "How do you spell Gunray? Like Newt Gunray."
I got a lot of stuff going through my head right before I fall asleep, and right now most of it is Star Wars trivia. And it's all starting to run together.
It's like, yeah, pacifism is, I guess, this idealist thing where, like, yeah, in a perfect world, mm-hmm. no one would fight and you would just be able to talk out your differences. But there's always going to be people that won't be up for that and they just want to be jerks.
What was it that Ron Swanson said looked good on paper, but big swing and a miss?
Communism, I think.
Well, that's mean.
Hmm.
He's like, now I want to fight. That guy just insulted me.
He immediately drops all his principles. Do the little hedgehog thing.
It's much faster.
I don't know how. Is somersaulting faster? I guess it is in Ocarina of Time. I used to somersault everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, Link's combat rule. It can if can be if you can do it that well. Us humans, it might slow us down a little bit. I don't even know if I can do a somersault. Is she eating chalk?
It's all we had left. Interesting that the probe droid looks like the Imperial probe droid. Like, did they just take that technology and...
Yeah, it does.
...improve it?
Although it only has 4 legs.
They probably just wanted to make it clear that this is a probe droid.
Teeny tiny front legs. Or maybe those are arms. I don't know. That's like super obvious. How do you miss that? It's such flat land.
Just had to climb up in a tree. Oh yeah, the defoliator tank.
The who what?
Don't worry, this won't be in the schmodown.
I know.
The defoliator kills organic life, but not technological life.
What would that do to Grievous?
Probably kill him.
That would kill him.
Yeah. But just the organic parts of him.
Hmm. I bet he was not a fan of this particular concept. Just in case.
Just needed to make sure he wasn't around when it was
fired. That's why he's not in this episode at all. He's like, I'm going to set this one out.
Yeah, maybe you test that somewhere far away from me.
What a good save.
It's so kind of sad to see Aayla Secura save Bly only because I know what Bly does to her.
Mm. But I love her in this particular arc.
One of the reasons I want to know more about Dooku is because, like, I don't know, he seems to have taken such a sharp turn from being a Jedi. Like, his motivations are kind of good. Like, he wants to...
Didn't he grow up as, like, a spoiled brat?
He was a count, but I assume he was taken at a young age.
Yeah.
So I don't think he grew up spoiled so much, but... I don't know, just that he is so fine with this bothers me. And I'm like, come on. Come on, man. You're better than this. You should be, anyway. What happened
Maybe,
to you?
Yeah, I'm hoping we get some stuff about him as a master to Qui-Gon in the Masters of Apprentice book. But I would also definitely not mind... his own book.
Yeah.
I mean, we got his comic, but it just had like one like little flashback of him as a Jedi, I think.
Yeah. I really am loving the Age of Republic comics, but yeah, they're just tiny little Clone Wars condensed episodes kind of. And it's like, I want to learn more.
Yeah.
And yeah, a book would be great.
I mean, that's kind of what those comics are meant to do, I think. They're like
Yeah,
super teasing.
They're just meant to give
extra material.
Yeah, a little bit more insight into each of these characters. And they've been really fun. But they always leave me wanting more. I forgot about that little messenger moth thing. Like
oh,
Gandalf. This feels like one of those kind of like, you can skip it episodes, but I really like all of the ideas it has to present, and like
this whole arc I really enjoy.
Like I said earlier, I mean, I don't think the village elder is wrong, but I also don't think he's right, and it's like, it's hard to find that balance of when do you stand up and fight, when do you have to resort to violence.
It's quite the commentary on the difficulties of just getting along as human beings on a planet together.
Yeah.
And, you know, different governments working together, trying to figure out how to fix things without fighting.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you do fight? Who gets the codes to the big red buttons?
Do you think one day, like, if things were like Star Trek... I won't say Star Wars with thousands and thousands of planets and species, but Star Trek, where it's like, we know that there are Vulcans and Romulans and Klingons. Do you think at that point, humanity, like, would Earth become a global civilization that we're all united? or would there still be little conflicts? Like kind of like The Expanse, where it's like Earth versus Mars versus the belt,
mm-hmm.
and all of those people are pretty much united as worlds.
I mean, there's always going to be cells of people that will go against the norm.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think a perfectly united world is possible.
Just, it doesn't seem like sci-fi ever really explores that. It probably does, and I just don't know the story, but it seems like they're always focused on, like, okay, the Earth is now a global unit and everyone gets along, but basically it's just an allegory for, like, okay, the Earth is basically a country and now this other planet is a country and we're still at odds with each other. But
yeah, I mean, I think it could get to that point where it's totally united, but it would take a government that is like, if you don't agree with us, we're going to either kill you or kick you off the planet.
Mm.
So it's like another Parks and Rec reference, straight to jail.
Right to jail.
Right to jail.
Right away.
Overcooked chicken, right to jail. Undercooked chicken, believe it or not, jail.
It's and Watchmen. I guess that was Ozymandias's plan, mm-hmm. was like to create this alien attack that hit all of the major countries across the world so that they would all become united. It's like, yeah, I figure it would take something like that.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I don't know, it's, we've talked about this a couple of times, it's kind of how I see episode 9 happening. Like, something might happen to where, like, the First Order stormtroopers and the Resistance have to kind of unite and fight against one common evil.
Yeah, I'm into that idea. Well, I don't think they're going to introduce a new threat.
I think
that there's something to, like, we've talked about the stormtrooper uprising before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would work great. And then they could all fight against the First Order.
Yeah.
And but, like, yeah, I love that idea.
The Yuuzhan Vong and Legends were kind of a threat that everybody was like, ooh, this is a threat to everyone, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea of the Stormtrooper uprising, not just for Finn, because I think that would be a great way to give him a reason to have survived The Last Jedi, because a lot of people, including myself, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that would have been such a great end to his arc. But I think a better end to his arc would be like, no, he survived so he could do something much bigger.
Yeah.
But I also like it for, it gives white armored troopers almost some closure.
Mm-hmm.
When we've had the clone troopers, we've had stormtroopers, and now First Order stormtroopers, and they've always pretty much just been these nameless, faceless cannon fodder people. But now we have Finn, and we know that there are people under there, and especially in the First Order's case, it's like, these were brainwashed children, mm-hmm. so it would be cool to have them swap sides, and that it would give so much more understanding to all of the stormtroopers and clone troopers, I feel like.
Going way off topic.
All right, well.
In the episode, but yeah.
We're just talking about deep stuff.
Especially with his, you know, he wanted to sacrifice himself at the end of The Last Jedi to give him his role in the whole thing more meaning, I guess, and to come full circle. But since he didn't get a chance to do that, I think, yeah, like an uprising and him leading it would be a really good way for him to continue to fight.
We're not that far off topic, because this episode is called Defenders of Peace, and as Finn just learned, it's not about fighting what you hate, it's about saving what you love, and that could be Defenders of Peace. That sounds like a good motto for that group. Go, Lermans, go.
Now you got me thinking about that Rose quote, and it's like, it's also kind of foreshadowing how the Jedi, or the idea of Jedi, is going to change, because they weren't allowed to love or be compassionate.
Well, they were supposed to be compassionate for all sentient kind.
Yeah.
But they weren't supposed to attach themselves to anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree. I think it would be more like a return to form almost.
This is a great way to kill droids.
I feel like whatever comes out of the Jedi in episode 9 might be like, this is what they were always supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, we know.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about that episode.
Talked over it quite a bit, yeah. About other stuff, but
well, hope you enjoyed that anyway.
Yeah.
But thank you guys for being patrons. Thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you.